Welcome, David L. from San Jose.
All right, good morning. I'm David, an alcoholic.
Hi, David.
And everything I thought about, I had forgotten all about that, and it all just went out the window. So I just wanted to kind of start with one thing I heard last night by one of the main speakers, and what I think it was really great is when he was talking about what it takes to qualify and how people sometimes feel like they don't qualify enough. And I think that's really important because sometimes, you know, people don't need to hurt as much as they have to get to where they need to be. So I just kind of wanted to reiterate that because it hit me pretty hard. But so me and my military stuff and how I kind of got there and all my alcoholism. So starting off, I kind of grew up as probably like everybody else here, kid that didn't feel like he fit in, super lonely all the time. You know, my little brother and me, you know, I have a little brother 2 years younger than me, always been nearly the same size and stuff like that. And he was very much the extrovert, wild child. I was the one that would do exactly what I was told all the time, and then I'd go, like, read books. As we got a little bit older, you know, he would have, like, best friends. Never had best friends. I had some people that I could call friends, but I never had a best friend, so I was super jealous of that all the time. So I always felt really alone at a young age. You know, I had a little brother, so I wasn't alone. I had, you know, a family. You know, I have the nuclear family. You know, mom, dad are still together, all that kind of stuff. You know, there's problems, but they were there. So I can't really use that as a, you know, too big of a complaint. So always getting to see my little brother have all these friends, that kind of created a resentment and all that stuff. The other thing was, is I lived in the Bible Belt in Texas, and I didn't realize this until after I went through through treatment, some of the damage that it caused. So my dad is a loving, caring person. But with how he was raised and stuff like that, he didn't, and the complete lack of interaction with anybody outside of his little category, my dad was like an extreme homophobe. So as a kid growing up, and I really think it was homophobe, just like scared, didn't understand it, so he's scared of it, right? So, you know, I'd hear things that, you know, I was like, oh, well, I can't be that close friend to like guys and stuff like that because that's gay. Not really sure what that means, but it's bad. So it's like, and I definitely could, so that just meant like you needed to make friends that were female. So that was now interactions with female were all fucked up because I didn't know how to do that because now they're that much scarier. So it's like, can't talk to the guys because, you know, it's gay. And I can't talk to the girls either because, yeah, now they're scarier. So then it was like, fine. Like, if you ever want to know about books with dragons and swords and knights and stuff like that, gotcha. Because what happens? Like, the guy doesn't have to talk to the girl. Go find a dragon. Kill the dragon. Girl throws herself at you. You know?
Love it.
If you did something gay while you're out there, dragon probably ate your buddy, so you're good, you know? So that was kind of like how my childhood kind of went, you know? I was always kind of, like, afraid to be friends with anybody. But at the same time, it was like a huge craving that I always had. It was always like, I'm so lonely, I kind of like just really wish to hang out with someone. Like, I never asked my parents for anything because I always wanted to do it with people, but I never knew how to like find someone to go do things with. It's like, never asked to go to the movies because I don't want to go to the movies alone. I never wanted to go to a park. I never wanted to go skating. None of that stuff. Like, my stuff was like shooting guns and fishing and reading books because I was just so lonely all the time. First couple times I started drinking though, it was really good, but then ended up really bad. Cause you know, I did all the stuff to like become friends with people. So I ran track, I did football, I did powerlifting, I did all the things to be around people, but I was so horribly awkward that I was still like on the outside. Of course we were in Texas, so I went to church 3 times a week, you know, twice on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Texas. Did the whole, like, we had, like, ASCII paw for like young Christians is like essentially like, you know, I could do like sign language for songs and, you know, leading singing and fucking all kinds of little weird shit. But then I heard about alcohol kind of like at a younger age and seeing it in movies. And, you know, like the guy would get home and have a beer or people would always have fun. And then I got into like all those movies that were like where they like it was like college movies. And I was like, that's the shit I need. Because like no matter what they did, they always had their friends at the end. And it was like, you know, like I was already out of college and everything. I was in the military by like the time The Hangover came out and stuff like that. But or you got like Animal House and like all these movies. And it's like no matter what happened, like you got drunk and you did something really stupid. Didn't matter. Your friends were like, that was fucking awesome. It's like, no, that was terrible. It didn't follow it because I was very rule based, right? But I was like, I wanted someone that would like let me amp up and have fun and be someone I wasn't. Because I was going to do the right thing and all that kind of stuff. But I kind of wanted to have fun every now and then. And that just never happened for me. So the first couple of times I drank, like the first time, so after a football game, guy's grandfather, we all go over to this guy's grandfather. It's out in the middle of nowhere. He's got the little dome house, which was super cool on the inside if you've ever been in one. This real ornate patio that led out to a pond. And he gets there, we all get there, it's like 11 o'clock at night. He goes over, opens the liquor cabinet very obviously and goes, all right, guys, I'm going to go to bed now. Y'all have a great night. Guy runs over. He's like, all right, who wants to drink? I was like, I don't know. I've never drank before. What is there to, like, how does it work? He's like, we'll just try a little bit of everything. He's like, we'll also make a mixed drink in case anything's too nasty. You just chase it. I was like, cool. Now I know words, chaser, mixed drink, shots. So we start, we would like four shots of trying the different things and then chasing them with mixed drinks. And I was like, this shit isn't working. I don't feel anything. There's a small hallway, so I'm like sitting at the end of the bar. If this was the bar, there's a hallway and the bathroom's down the hallway. I stand up, I ping pong a couple times and then land in the bathroom. And that's how like my first night drinking went. I was like, I just need to do that better. So I practiced a couple more times. And then once I got into it, then it was off to the races. And I got to where, by the time I was like 19, 20, I'm like the super rule-based kids. Like, I think I didn't have sex until I was like 19, because you know, Jesus. But then I found alcohol and then problems with Jesus. So I had got to where I was drinking probably two or three handles a week. That was having my friend pick up because I wasn't old enough. And I was just like hammered all the time. And I had a bunch of fun in like when I attempted college and stuff like that. But that wasn't working out for me. And had family that was in the military. I'd always kind of wanted it. I was like, I liked everything about it. Structure. People liked you and appreciated you for what you were doing. And, you know, growing up, it was like we always played like army and stuff like that. And so I really was always drawn to the military. So then finally I got so sick and tired that I was like, fuck it. I hate myself right now. Can't drink for 8 weeks. That'll be good enough, right? Got to go to boot camp. I'll dry out at boot camp. Whatever, we'll be good to go. So went and did that. And, you know, that was just a pause. So, I mean, I got to A school where we do our training and they have 100 proof SoCo at like the bar on base. So we're like doing, yeah. double 100 proof SoCos with Dr. Pepper. That's definitely how you drink like a normal rational person. So we started right back down the rabbit hole and it picked up right where it started off. I didn't know anything about getting sober, but you know, they tell you that it picks up right where it started off and it just gets worse. And sure enough, a couple years later, I went ahead and I, you know, self-reported to a program like the Army has ASAP. We have SARP, same shit. So they sent me to rehab and I'd seen all the problems. Like I was a driver for an admiral and he would normally have to fly out places super early in the morning so he could be places by the time work started. I know I've driven that admiral, like multiple admirals around so fucking drunk still. Like I had one time my LPO, leading petty officer, was in the car waiting on me because I was late and I got in and she was like, get the fuck out, we're having a conversation later. But like Justice was saying, we're usually pretty good at what we do and because we're good at what we do, we can do whatever the fuck we want, right? So I partied really hard because I you know, I got put up for Sailor of the Year. So same kind of shit. Partied really hard because I did everything else, and you couldn't tell me shit because I was doing better than you. So I went to rehab through there, but I didn't want it, and there were some other things about it that I just couldn't get behind yet. You know, if you picked up on the whole Jesus thing, that might have been part of the problem, and it didn't sink in yet. I hadn't heard enough. I hadn't had any, like, problems yet. So waited around, got some problems. The best thing about it, though, was because I had all the Jesus problems, one of the counselors gave me a book, and he's like, read this if you don't like the other stuff. It was Viktor Frankl's God's Search for Meaning. And it was life-changing, and I think it helped me get here. And the other thing it changed was when I realized I needed to have some kind of meaning in my life. And I still didn't have meaning in my life till I got back to the rooms. And just being of service and helping people and trying to be nice to people became my little meaning. I don't have a lot of service committees or anything like that, but that became kind of, it gave me a little bit of meaning, and being able to be there for people has really helped me in it. So, let's see here. Coming around round two, trying to stay sober this time. My sobriety date was March 8th, 2018, so a little over a year. The next book that really impressed me was, I would go to book studies because I couldn't read the big book by myself. I just couldn't get through it. But the 12 and 12, I had no problem because it was much more like focus and action based, and it was very just straightforward. And they talked about instincts, and I feel like that sits so well on the military panel, because with instinct, like we were talking about, you know, you always did the best, and that's why you could do whatever you wanted, right? And I feel like instincts can be exacerbated, like it talks about in the 12 and 12, and it's also what can cause you a lot of your problems. The example I like to give is like people that do really well under pressure, so they always procrastinate. If you're in the military, and we were talking about just now, hurry up and wait earlier before the meeting, like we couldn't get into the thing, so we hurried up to get over here, get ready for this panel, and now we're waiting. So, but those people that really excel at it, you know, they excel at it, and that can be really good in the military, being able to hurry up and then, oh shit, it's go time. Let the fire hose rip. Let's get shit taken care of. And I just really had to be thankful for the military, because it helped me get back to the rooms, and I also get to give back and be a better person in it because of the rooms. So it's like this kind of intertwined situation where I got here because of it, and because of AA, I get to give back to it, help people, and I got a boring job. I do like paid administration right now. I've worked on Flagstaff where I'm just doing paperwork and shit. Like I've been on deployment and had crazy hours and did all this shit, but like most of mine was not carrying around a gun. It was following a guy with stars on his jacket doing all the bitch work, you know, for, it was like, ah, I gotta get, yes sir, you know. But what ended up happening was I get to help a lot of people. People don't like to do things if they're focused on something else. So I get to help people and be grateful that I get to help people with stuff like, pay's boring as fuck. But you know what? Your gunner's not going to be too well if he can't pay his mortgage and his babies ain't getting fed and all that kind of stuff. Your pilots aren't going to be focused on blowing up whoever the fuck they need to blow up if they're getting shit repossessed. People want to go home and see their families on leave. They can't go do that because someone messed up their leave days. So I get to help all those people, and I get to do that because I get to practice the principles that AA taught me in all my affairs. So I guess that's my time. So I'm going to go sit back down and stop rambling.